He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson. I don't know what the news is. There must have been some news right after the market opened. We were down 167 points at the open, and all of a sudden the Dow was up 94 points. The NASDAQ was down about 100 points at the open, and now it is up 77 points. So we'll take it, but suffice it to say, the market continues to get more and more volatile as we get closer and closer to a volatile election. The Russell 2000 down 7 points, 0.5%, 1444. NASDAQ up 76 right now to 10,709. S&P 500 is now up 14 points to 3251. Dow up 84 points to 26,847. You know, a turnaround that happened in the matter of about 5 minutes. So I'll have to search and see if there was some news there. Sometimes I wonder if the Fed doesn't intervene in the markets if they see too much downside. You know, I've heard that said before. I wouldn't doubt it. The crude oil markets are down a little bit, down 13 cents to $39.80. Crude oil's had a terrible week. The crude oil ETFs have had a terrible week. The inverse ETFs have done very well, however. Gold's had a bad week. Gold down another $4.80 today. There's a big bullish call out on gold today, however. We'll get to that in a bit. Gold down 480 to 1863. Silver's down 70 cents. It's had a real bad week, down $22, or it's at $22.40. And the 10-year just sits there quietly, a sleepy dog. 0.67 is where the 10-year is. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, we had an awful day in the market yesterday. The Dow was down 525 points. The NASDAQ was down 330 points. It's pretty obvious that there will be no coronavirus relief package between now and November 3rd. That's just not going to happen. The rebound of COVID in Europe also has the market spooked a little bit here. And obviously a very tense time in America, and I think people are taking a bit of risk off the table right now. And in addition to that, we had really the biggest run-up in a lot of asset classes that I've seen since 1999 and 2000, 21 years ago. Yes, I was in the business, and I saw that irrational exuberance in the NASDAQ. I think that helps add to one's experience at a time like this. But we had a very poor day yesterday. S&P now down 5 days out of the last six. But we've had a sudden turnaround right after the market opened today. So I'll try to find out why that happened. Yesterday's action, gold was slammed again. Lithium stocks were slammed on Tesla's move into lithium mining. Yes, that was part of their battery day. They're going to start mining their own lithium. So they're not relying on companies like Albemarle and Lithium in Americas and others, FMC Corp. And that really sent the lithium stocks. There is a lithium ETF. LIT, it got slammed yesterday. Twitter was a winner yesterday. Twitter's a winner again today. Twitter is breaking out right now to the upside. The oil stocks slammed. They look horrible. I looked at Chevron yesterday. That's a horrible-looking chart. And others. In the meantime, the solar stocks and the electric vehicle stocks doing okay. Tesla was on the downside yesterday, their battery day. Underwhelmed, and they had an outage, total outage at Tesla yesterday. We'll look in a little bit into that. I think the market yesterday was looking at a Biden win, just judging by the sectors that were moving higher and the sectors that were moving lower. It seems some days the market is signaling a Trump victory, and some days the market seems to be signaling a Biden victory. I don't think the market really knows, to be honest with you. Nike had a big day yesterday. The stay-at-home stocks had a pretty good day. Zoom, Nautilus, Peloton, Fiverr, Amwell had a good day. That's the new telehealth offering backed by Google. And Blueprint Medicines, which is hoping to blueprint genes someday. It also had a very good day yesterday. Tesla, bad day. Let's check on it today. TSLA today is, well, it's come up. It's hit its 50-day moving average this morning. It pierced it just a little bit. A lot of times that can be give it some inertia to the upside, and it is. Tesla is now down just $3 per share, $3.76. But well off its recent high of 502. Sometimes I wonder if the NASDAQ isn't following Tesla these days. You know, in the past, Apple's been a leader, continues to probably be a harbinger of the NASDAQ. Obviously, Amazon. And I think Tesla, to some extent, leads the NASDAQ these days. Well, they had a complete network outage yesterday. Tesla suffered a complete network outage and internal systems being shut down, customer connectivity features not accessible. They were inexplicably down. You just wonder, you know, is that some kind of attack on the company? What happens if you're on the freeway doing 65 and you're an autopilot and all of a sudden there's a virus attack on Tesla? I don't know. That's I try to think through things. I try to ask thought-provoking questions and ponder them in my mind. Interactive Brokers boost client margin requirements ahead of U.S. election. Now, I've been warning for quite some time. I even cut a commercial about the upcoming U.S. election and the impacts it might have on volatility leading up to the actual election itself. Now, everybody seems to be on board. Warning. Interactive Brokers, in an effort to shield both the broker and its clients from a potential hit if the U.S. presidential election triggers abrupt market declines. Well, that's a sign, isn't it? It's intended to avoid a repeat of losses the online broker experienced earlier this year. The company will gradually boost the amount of money clients have to deposit as a margin for their trades, resulting in a 35% increase by October 23rd. Earlier this year, Interactive Brokers paid $800 million in margin calls owed to clearinghouses when many of its clients were caught on the wrong side of a slide in oil prices. Remember that? You know, this has been quite a year. Remember 2020, earlier this year, when oil prices actually went negative? They would pay you to haul oil away for them. Cost Interactive Brokers $88 million in margin calls. The move is a sign that market intermediaries are bracing for large price swings around the U.S. elections, especially as retail trading has surged in popularity after COVID-19 restrictions shut down sports venues and casinos. Well, what's become the casino of choice in recent months? Robinhood, Amazon, bankrupt stocks, Apple, Tesla. That has been the casino of choice. And that's another reason why I am cautious right now. We had a massive run-up in the market. What's that do to valuations? It sends them sky high. The gambling stocks doing quite well also right now. DraftKings and Penn National Gaming. AstraZeneca late-stage U.S. study of COVID is still on hold. That's surprising. Now, you would think AstraZeneca would be selling off big time on that news, but it's not, and the reason why is AstraZeneca had a great business before they even got in the COVID battle. I bought AstraZeneca before the COVID vaccine battle ever came along. And now here we are. It remains a major player, but their particular study on hold right now. All right, we'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio. Apparently, new home sales were better than expected, and that has turned the market to the upside. Dow's now up 56 points. NASDAQ's up 52 points. I just did a quick look through the sectors. Looks like the semiconductor stocks having a very good day today. Online retail also having a good day, and it also looks like the precious metals are rebounding a little bit here today. So that's what's moving the market right now after a real bad day yesterday and a very shaky morning in the futures as we led up to the actual open of the market. Well, speaking of the vaccines, all six companies have their vaccines in industrial manufacturing. In other words, they're cooking up the brew over at AstraZeneca and Pfizer and BioNTech and Johnson & Johnson and even Merck, Sanofi, GlaxoSmithKline, Moderna, cooking up the brew that may someday... give us a shot in the arm, pardon the pun, with the COVID-19. They want to have them ready to go just in case. In fact, I heard that there's already like 50 million doses out there that have been made, even though nothing's been approved yet. Those jobless claims continue to be stubborn. You know, that's a problem. That's one of the reasons that the futures did go south even more before the open of the market. They come in this morning at 870,000. Remember the days when we were at 200,000 every single week? We even had a print that was below 200,000. It was incredible, the streak and the run that we had for months after month after month in the jobless claims, initial jobless claims. And then, of course, COVID came along. We had some prints over 3 million initial jobless claims. Now it's at least under a million, but 870,000 is still not good. On the other side of the coin, you've got new home sales busting out again. And let's not forget that it was yesterday, the existing home sales, red hot. One of the hot areas of the market, as there seems to be a little migration going on in America right now amongst where people choose to live and where they want to live. I think the COVID pandemic changed a lot of things forever. Global markets off overnight after our big sell-off yesterday. We still do not have a resolution to TikTok. Boy, that's a problem that just won't go away. TikTok is keeping its legal options, filing for a preliminary injunction against the ban on its U.S. operations. Meanwhile, Attorney General William Barr has been skeptical of approving Oracle's deal for TikTok on national security concerns. He is still in the fact-gathering stage, that despite Trump saying he approves the deal in concept. But it doesn't look to me like there is a deal, and it looks to me like it's going to be difficult to get one. That hangs over the technology sector. Okay, here's that bullish report on gold. Maybe that's lifting gold out of the doldrums here. Citigroup. They say that gold could hit a record by year-end on election risk. You know who else I saw weighing in on the election was Barry Diller. He was a big media guy with Interactive Corp, Match.com, etc. He's very negative on the market right now. One, pretty much for the same reasons that I have turned very cautious. Valuations, he says they're extreme. And he, too, worries about volatility around late October, early November, maybe into December. Who knows? Gold may hit a record by year-end on election risk. That's Citigroup. Are they putting out a price target? Well, a record would put it, they could see a surge of more than $200 an ounce for bullion from current levels. Well, you know, internet immunity. These big tech companies have had it pretty good here recently, over years, with that Section 230 legal immunity. However, you know, they're starting to get tough on tech. You've got an antitrust suit going to go down any day against Google. The DOJ proposes congressional limits for internet company immunity. The proposed changes to Section 230 legal immunity would force social media giants, including Facebook, Google, Twitter, to take more responsibility for managing content on their site. In other words, you know, content that's posted on their site, they have immunity from that. Changes made to the plans in summer include clarifying that the internet companies would have immunity when taking down material that promotes violence. They've been trying to take it down. They've been trying to police it. But there is legislation moving forward to get rid of some of that immunity that they now enjoy. Talk about froth in the market. SPI. I talked about it yesterday. This is that Robinhood crowd at it again. This stock was up yesterday, what, like 400%, something like that. It's now hitting $19.70. It was 96 cents per share just a month ago, and they're looking into it. It's a Chinese company that used to make photovoltaic panels, and now they're investing in a big solar startup in Silicon Valley. SPA yesterday announced an electric vehicle subsidiary. Shares shot up to nearly $47. That's from a dollar, before falling back somewhat, but are still in the stratosphere for the company that received a NASDAQ deficiency letter in May. Well, there you go. The move is reminiscent of the height of the crypto craze when Long Island Iced Tea Corp., I remember that, surged nearly 300% after changing its name to Long Blockchain. I'm telling you, I've seen many manias. You know, it goes back to the tulip bulbs in Holland many centuries ago. I wasn't around then, but I heard about that one. The Dow right now down 19. We've lost a lot of the gains. S&P up 2, and the NASDAQ's up just 10 points right now. Well, another mania we had was the cannabis mania. I remember everybody wanted to own a cannabis stock. What do you think, Gunnarsson, about the cannabis? I said I've run Aurora Cannabis down 24% after their Q4 report. continues to reflect continued headwinds. There's just no profit. There's the problem. You got to have a profit. This is Bill Gunnarsson. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter. Well, we've got a volatile session going on. Boy, I'll tell you what. Pass the Dramamine, please. The Dow is down 75 right now to 26,683. The NASDAQ is down 34 right now to 10,596. Now, I got to say this about all the major indexes. They're all below their 50-day moving average, which means to me that they're going to get worse before they get better. We are in the midst of a correction, and how far it goes, nobody knows. We got overblown from a valuation point of view, from a sentiment. Oh, my gosh, the sentiment. I can just tell you that I had about 6 weeks ago, I had 1,078 B-plus or better ranked stocks. That's a record since I started the app. And here we are 5 weeks later. I've got about 277 B-plus or better ranked stocks. And I've been watching this day by day, week by week. It's a good indicator for me. I also watch the amount of A-plus ranked momentum stocks that I have on a daily basis, and that indicator has also come way off from its height. Let's just take a look there at what its height was. I track this and graph this every single day. It's a great internal indicator that is proprietary, obviously, from the app. For me, we hit 976 A-plus momentum stocks back in August 14. That means that almost 20% of all the stocks in the market that I tracked, 5,362, had a momentum grade of A-plus or better. We've gone now from 976 A-plus or better momentum stocks to 171. That's also been a very good indicator for me to lighten up, protect some profits here, and hedge a little bit against a very volatile market right now. And I would also say this about the major averages. The small cap index, the S&P 600, it looks worst of all. It has literally broken down below support. And who knows where the next level of support is for the small cap index. RWM is the inverse small cap index. And there's others, but that's the one I track. That could be an attractive hedge. I now have a very large hedge in my premier growth and dividend and growth portfolios, and I have a pretty substantial hedge in my ultra growth portfolios, and I have a high degree of cash right now. California to ban new gasoline car sales by 2035. That's electrifying news. We'll see whether or not Gavin Newsom can get that through. I think he probably will, but imagine how that changes. Think of all the gas stations. I don't know. I'm just thinking aloud here. All the gas stations, all the car dealerships, all the repair shops. The auto industry is a pretty big industry. You will not be able to buy, after 2035, a traditional fuel consumption, gasoline, combustible car after the year 2035. It will be all zero emission cars by that time. Well, we'll see. Blink celebrates Gavin Newsom's commitment to electric vehicles in California. That's Blink Charging. You know, they're a company that likes to promote themselves a lot, to say the least. They say that electric vehicles are here to stay. Blink Charging has been in the EV charging infrastructure business for more than 10 years. And we believe that Governor Newsom's executive order comes at a pivotal time in our country. That's CEO Michael Farkas of Blink Charging. Volkswagen takes the wraps off of its all-electric SUV. Of course, you got the Ford Mustang coming up soon. You've got the Tesla X, which is their SUV. And different automakers, BMW I know is out there, rolling out electric cars. The U.S. junk bond market. Okay, I watch this. You know, this is another one to watch very closely because it measures risk. You know that the U.S. junk bond issuance for 2020 has eclipsed the prior annual sales record of $329 billion set in 2012. That's not good. That's a sign of an overheated high-risk bond market. This is the high-risk portion of the bond market. You're loaning money to high-risk people. That's why they have to go to the junk bond markets. And all of a sudden, there were more outflows from HYG on Monday, the largest single-day outflow since the start of the coronavirus. Now, we keep our eye on the opposite other side of the street of that investment, HYG, and that's SJB. That's the ProShares inverse junk bond ETF, and it's starting to see some inflows, and it's starting to break out just a little bit, and we have hedged our bond portfolio with SJB in the past, and we may be looking to do so here in the future. Even though we don't own junk bonds, we own a good step above that, but it still makes sense to hedge with the highly volatile in a highly volatile area of the bond market. The IPO market, it's cooling off, but still, look at Laird Superfood went public yesterday. Yeah, they make plant-based coffee creamer and things like this, okay? The stock was up 90% from its IPO price yesterday. Bentley Systems, first day of trading, up 27% yesterday. Corsair, actually it was down a little bit. Recently we had Snowflake, JFrog, and I talked about GoodRx yesterday, up 50% after its open yesterday. Not only is the junk bond market, did it reach nosebleed heights, But this IPO market, I said that it all topped the day Snowflake went to 222 or whatever, overheated. And I see about 10 more today rushing to the altar to get married to those investors that are willing to put the money up in very high-risk biotechs going public. Numerous companies going public before the money dries up. FOMO. Fear of missing out. And sports betting action doubles in Colorado during August. We read yesterday that New Jersey gambling is on a roll. DraftKings on watch with Macquarie pointing to rapid expansion for online sports betting. Now, Penn is doing a secondary offering today, and that stock is down. But the two leaders here, Penn, which is also Barstool Sports and DraftKings, and some foreign players also involved. And before we go to break, Nicola. I got to mention Nicola. It's only getting worse. I warned of this. I wrote about it. I mentioned it on the radio many times. Yes, I did own Nicola at one time up in the 30s. Nicola's hitting $18 per share today. It's down another 14%. Wall Street Journal is warning on stalled talks with potential partners. You have the CEO resigning 2 days ago. You had the big hit piece written by the big short firm, I'm losing the name, Hindenburg, the other day. And now Wedbush, Dan Ives, is saying, caution, this could be a major, major scandal of the degree of Theranos. I warned of this. It's looking bad. It goes down, and now there's another one in the crosshairs. More on that when we come back, along with the featured stock of the day.
You got to go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, it looks like the markets may be settling in here into a red position. Dow down 57 right now to 26,704. It's been all over the place since I started the show. It's been all since I woke up this morning. The NASDAQ has just gone positive. It's up by 7. Semiconductors and precious metals look to be the best, strongest sectors in the market today. Well, before I get to the featured stock of the day, we got another one to look at here. Green Power Motor Company out of Canada. They went public 4 weeks ago, and they're getting slammed with a short seller research. This is Marine Research Group. They want you to consider some of the firm's key points. We estimate that 74% of the revenues are the result of a California subsidy program for which funding dried up in 2019. They believe that Green Power, which is GP, has underspent on R&D, calling into question its competitiveness. They also believe that GP's CEO Fraser Atkinson has been associated with some less than savory characters. And has been, I hang around with Paul and Barry, you know, but has this seen the stock, they hang around with me. The stock price of the companies has been involved in a collapse. He's been around with other companies that have collapsed before. Those are the kind of guys you don't want to hang around with. Well, Green Power, they give a $2 target price. The stock was 22 just about a month ago. Now it's 11. So we'll keep her. I put that one on my watch list. GP, Green Power, electric vehicle stock out of Canada. You know, I just tell you that when these fads, these crazes come along, whether it's Bitcoin, whether it's blockchain, whether it's plant-based foods, whether it's cannabinoid oils, whatever the fad, whatever the current fad is, you see shysters taking advantage of those fads. I'm not saying this guy's a shyster, but obviously this people that wrote this report thinks he is. Mariner Research Group, they take credit for it. You see people take advantage of these fads and the hype. Never was it more visible than during the dot-com bubble of 2000. There were companies going public that had no business going public, but you know what? The people were there to gobble it up as fast as they could. We also had a big fad here recently in the COVID testing, a lot of people taking advantage of that and the hype surrounding it and the vaccines and the so-called drugs and the therapeutics for COVID. That was a very hot area, and there was some characters, unsavories entering into that arena also. Well, I'm going to go for a precious metal stock here today after a pullback. Silver is really volatile. It's much more volatile than gold. Fortuna Silver Mines, FSMM. You'd think they were mining for tuna, but they're not, though I like tuna. Nothing better than an albacore sandwich on homemade sourdough bread. That's my favorite. P.E. ratio on Fortuna Silver Mines is 122. But I'm looking at their earnings estimates for next year, and I see 96 cents per share. The stock's trading at $6.25. If they can make 96 cents per share next year, you'd think the stock is grossly undervalued. But it's a billion-dollar company. It's one of the bigger players in the silver mining business. This is kind of a pure silver play. I own this in my emerging growth portfolio, FSM. It's not for the faint of heart. It's a Canadian company engaged in the mining processing of silver in Arequipa, Peru, southern Oaxaca, Mexico, etc. It's a billion-dollar market cap company. It's been growing earnings by 22% per year over the last 5 years. That's a pretty good track record. Of course, a lot of that depends on the price of silver, which I think is going to continue to go higher after this recent pullback. I have a line in the sand drawn on Fortuna Silver Mines, and it recently pulled right back to that line in the sand, and it's sitting on it today. It's bouncing off of that. It's up by 2.3% right now. When I bought it, it was one of the top-ranked stocks in my app. It's dropped quite a bit over the last week. You've had a major correction here. If you've been waiting for a pullback, I don't go hog wild with the precious metals, but I do think there's times that lend themselves to a little bit of precious metals exposure. I think periods of high debt, I think periods of government unrest, and, of course, periods of global unrest and periods of markets that are frothy. They tend to be a pretty good hedge during times like that. So I do own a small position in Fortuna Silver Mines, FSM. We'll make that our featured stock of the day. Well, the guys are busy. We have new money that I'm putting to work or not putting to work, as the case may be, depending on the day, on a daily basis, people getting positioned for the next move in the market. I think we got some volatility to get through, but you know what? I bought several yesterday. It's a market of stocks as opposed to a stock market. It just depends. And that's why my daily trip through the market, never know what it's going to turn up. Today I have 344 stocks to look through that are candidates. They're either A-plus or better momentum. They're either B-plus or better overall rank, or they've made a major move in rank upwards recently. Something that is going on at those companies, and I'll be taking a look at all of those today. And as always, I always look at everything I own on a daily basis. Very, very vigilant money manager, whether it be the big conservative bonds, whether it be the big conservative dividend-paying stocks, or right down to the emerging growth stocks that I own. It's a fun process. There's no substitute for looking at those every single day, remaining vigilant. We can be as conservative as you want with your portfolio or as aggressive. Give us a call, 855-611-BEST, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.